What is the first step forward towards that future? And it's not about operatory size, and it's not about flooring, and it's not about the kinds of chairs that you have, because people won't remember chairs. People won't remember flooring. People will remember leaders and people that were good people within the community and what you stood for. And people will follow you as a leader of your practice, your business. They will follow you because they're wanting to pursue something even bigger.
This is the Startup Dentist Podcast, where associate dentists ignite their journey to practice ownership with a startup that matters. Learn from the experts who have opened more private practice startups than anyone in dentistry, led by your host and CEO of Ideal Practices, Jamie Amos.
Welcome back, Startup Crew. I cannot wait to go through this episode with you because it is imperative to get right. Last time, we talked about one leg of a three-legged stool, and that's a pretty imbalanced solution, if you know what I mean. One-legged stools should have the other two legs to establish better balance for you, for your startup. We're going to establish this balance. Interestingly, there are many doctors who are just interested in cold, hard profits. You know, some just really are better served being part of corporate dentistry, like Wall Street corporate style practices. That's okay for them. For them, all that matters is cold, hard data. For them, all that matters is the spreadsheets or the profits. But listen, for them, that's okay. For you, as an associate dentist who wants a beautiful practice that will be customized for your desires in practice ownership, one that will literally help you stand proud as a practice owner, confident, real confidence and pride in how you serve your community. If you get the other two legs of this stool balanced properly, the rest of your career is incredible. I've seen it happen all over the country. I can't wait for you to explore this here because many other doctors, they'll start sprinting on the startup journey. They'll just start running. I mean, you've seen them. They just like dive in and they start running. They start doing crazy things and having crazy conversations that aren't in alignment with anything. They're running around a track through and through and through like they're on this sprint. And then they realize, boom, they've been running the wrong direction. And you've seen it. Many of them are like, oh no, I ran out of money for marketing. Or they'll say things like, oh no, I'm actually, oh, in the wrong town. Or they'll be running around the track as fast as they can. And then one day they'll say, I don't think I am enjoying this. The way we're going to avoid those heartbreaking outcomes is not to start sprinting. That's crazy. What I want you to do is I want you to prepare. If we're going to go on a marathon together, I want you to build up the right muscle structure. If we're going to go on this long journey together, let's make sure we're running in the right direction around the track first, right? For you, the other two legs of the stool, when we're talking through the KRG framework, this is the intangible vision for your practice. Will we get into things like calculations? Of course. Will we get into things like demographics? Of course. Will we get into things like budgets and numbers and strategies for those things? Yes, absolutely we will. I promise. But right now, let's establish the direction on the track first. Let's establish what you want to be known for. Let's establish what you want to be remembered by. Let's establish how you want to give in the community where you're going to serve. Because if we get those things established well, you're about to see how that will make your entire career bring it to a whole new level. Here's my proof. You ready? Have you ever seen somebody retire from dentistry? Maybe you can imagine them at their farewell speech. They're standing there saying goodbye to their town, thanking their team members, and they're wishing everybody farewell as they sail off into retirement. And the doctor always says this, right? The doctor always says, ready? You can imagine. The doctor says, thank you for an incredible career. It was great because I had the best demographics. No. Or how about this? The retiring doctor stands up there and says, friends and family, thank you. This has been an incredible journey because I had a very low rate on my loan. No, of course not. That is not what makes practice owners happy in practice ownership. Now, I'm joking, but if that's not what's going to make you happy, if that's not what will make you really proud of your practice, then why don't we start with the things that will? What do you think of that? So today, I want to take you through running around the track in the right direction. I want to take you through building the other two legs of this stool so you're balanced. This topic is near and dear to my heart, and you'll hear why, and you'll hear incredible deep insights on part two of the KRG framework for your startup that matters.
Hey, startup crew, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I'm going to reintroduce you now to the president of Ideal Practices, the man with over 650 startups of experience in dentistry, none other than Stephen Trotter. Stephen, would you say hello?
I will. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. And can't wait to go and be able to bolt on these other two legs here onto this three-legged stool. So I know, stools and dentistry. Yes, it's all going to tie together. Just wait, everybody.
How awful would it be if dental stools didn't have wheels? I'm glad we have wheels. But for the vision for your practice, let's add on these other two legs of the stool. We went through the framework, right? Let me give you a 10-second recap. We went through the framework last time of KRG. K, being known for. R, being remembered by. And G, being give. Guys, listen, if you're thinking about a startup, if you get clear on these, the rest of your career will be reshaped. The compass that we set will have a clear point of where you should start your journey. Because I want you to begin this incredible journey toward private practice ownership. So here, let's explore the specifics of how do we set this compass so that you can get clear on the idea leading toward your opening day with your startup. Stephen and I were just talking through some ideas related to the R. And a couple of our clients have talked about some really potent, powerful things related to the second column of the KRG framework. So Stephen, where do you want to take us on this piece of the vision? What's important for people to know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first thing is, please, if you haven't listened to the K part, go back, listen to K, because that will be kind of like setting that compass towards this path into R and G. When it comes to the R column, we call it the remembered column. So let me pose a question to everybody here that's listening. This is the question. What do you want to be remembered by even after you're no longer in dentistry or have a practice? Now, if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, if you're a young dentist that's come out right out of dental school and things like that, and you're probably sitting yourself, Stephen, Jamie, I just became a dentist a week ago. You want me to start thinking about what life is after I'm no longer practicing dentistry? Yes, that's exactly what I want you to start thinking about.
I thought this was the Startup Dentist Podcast, not the Retiring Dentist Podcast.
Yes. Wait a minute. Like my succession plan? No. Or like, how am I going to sell my practice? No. Not that. What I want you to start thinking about is at the end, two, three, if it's one decade or three decades from now, when you are done and you're done practicing, what is left? What are you going to be remembered by within the community? Is it going to be something that's going to be, I'm going to be remembered by maybe a family member or my children taking over my practice? We've had clients that said, I want to be remembered, you know, as somebody that was philanthropic within the community, that gave to the community, that helped support the community. Even others, Jamie, we've had stories of people that said, you know what, I love the academia of dentistry, and I want to be, maybe I want to have a name on a dental school building at some point. For some of you probably listening, you're going, no way, I can't wait till I'm done with dental school. I want to get out of here. My name? No way. I don't want my name anymore. But that's okay. But what is that legacy that you want to leave behind? Whether it's family, whether it's in the community, or something that's bigger, we have to be aiming towards something
in the future. So the difference between this, you're known, you're remembered, is when you are done in dentistry, when you have retired and you're out of dentistry, and what is that legacy that you leave behind? And it could be even something that's way beyond that. So, Jamie, what can you think of some clients on like what they've talked about and like some of the things that we've had clients share with us? I don't want to put you on the spot, but you probably thought of some things of, you know, what clients have thought of in terms of their, how they want to be remembered even after dentistry.
Yeah, I know, you know, just the other day we were talking with a client on a vision call, and she was saying, you know, I don't have kids yet, but I know for sure I would love to create a practice where I'm proud enough of what I've created, where I could will the practice to my kids. You know, if they become dentists, I could create something that is that good. Like, I don't know about you, Stephen, but like having my, you know, as a partner at Ideal Practices, just so everybody knows, Stephen is the only other owner at Ideal Practices. And as an owner of the company, like our names are on the door. Technically, we don't have a door, but we're a virtual company with consultants around the country. But we don't have our names, our personal names, like who we are, how our kids are known amongst their friends, how our wives are known in their circles of friends. Like our names are kind of all we have. And our name is now on the door of this build of this business. So we want to, at least for me, I want to be really careful to be working on having a business that perhaps I could will to the kids. And even if I don't will it to the kids, I want to be able to have a business that I'm proud enough of, that I'm proud enough of creating and living. And so for me and for a lot of our clients, it's that. But I know for a lot of doctors who are thinking about a startup, they're like, no, wait, why are we talking about this? Shouldn't we be talking about like operatory size or like what, how do I get tip out bins? Yeah. Steve, what would you say to those guys who are like, let's talk about tip out
bins?
Legacy.
When we get here, and a lot of times what happens on their vision calls, it's like you could feel like they're almost like the preconception of like, oh man, oh, so today we're going to talk about the brand of the chairs I'm going to get. Probably not. What about the flooring I'm going to put in my office? Well, we'll talk about that later.
Oh, my logo. I got an idea for
my logo.
Cool.
We're definitely going to define all the demographics. Yes. All those things. Yeah. We're going to get there. Like all those things are really, really important. We're going to get there. But let's talk about this part, which is what are we aiming towards? If I think, Jamie, you say this, it's like you hear the saying of if we're not aiming for something, we're literally aiming for nothing. We got to have an aim towards this. So, yeah, am I asking everybody today to listen and say, what do I want to be aiming towards 20 or 30 years or a decade or more from now? Absolutely. I want you to be aiming towards that because all those things can be reversed. We got to reverse engineer that to back to a point of what is the first step forward towards that future. And it's not about operatory size, and it's not about flooring. And it's not about the kinds of chairs that you have because people won't remember chairs. People won't remember flooring. People will remember leaders and community people and people that were good people within the community and what you stood for and people will follow you as a leader of your practice, your business. They will follow you because they're wanting to pursue something even bigger. So your team is also there to help that you want to attract the people that want to also share that part of them aiming towards something bigger in their own lives. They want to be led. They want to be led towards something that is bigger than just the paycheck that comes every other Friday. It's something that's bigger within their own legacy that they can be proud of to walk around their community and say, I work there. That's something I'm proud about. That's something I'm proud to do is that I'm a person looked at because I work for that doctor in that practice. Whew, that's pretty cool if we can get there and we got to be aiming there.
It gets me fired up because I love when, you know, I mean, Stephen, you and I can feel it. We can almost like sense it on a vision call when it's like, we're like cracking the door open and it's almost like, yeah, I want to talk about chairs. And we crack the door open and then it's like, oh, wait. You're right. Yeah, my chairs will be replaced someday, but my last name won't.
Oh.
That's really cool. So talk, Stephen, could you share on the topic of legacy, on the topic, well, actually, how about this? Do you mind if I give a little compare and contrast between last episode and this episode?
Yeah.
Between the K and the R?
Please. Okay. Yeah.
So sometimes a lot of our clients and, you know, startup crew, as you're listening to this, maybe you're like, this sounds like kind of similar to calling my shot with the K. It is similar. It's about pre-planning. It is similar because we're going to reverse engineer it, but we can't reverse engineer until we know what we're going to create, right? So it's a little bit similar, but here's the big difference. Big difference. The K, the known for, is related to a current day patient experience. This is about the experience and how people will describe it. The K from last experience and your community, your patients will describe that. The letter R, the remembered by, to Stephen's point, the letter R is about the future. It's about a direction for the future for your reputation, for your legacy, for your name, for your long-standing legacy, even after practice ownership. Some people will describe something like this. Like, I always get the name wrong. Is it Epitaph? I can never say it right.
What's epitaph. That on a headstone? Yes, you're right. Yeah, epitaph. Headstone. Yeah, epitaph. You're,
is that it?
Your epitaph, yes.
That.
Yes,
that
sure.
Word
we'll
that
go
I
with
can't
that.
Say on a headstone. That one. That word. Get clear. What's on your headstone? What are people going to say at the end? Now, I'm not talking about something morbid like the end of your life. End of your career. It will come. Pardon me. The end of practice ownership will come. Let's get clear about what that will look like. And then all of today's decisions can align with that future. All the decisions you make for the rest of your career should be aligned with something right now. That's Stephen, thank you for that. I hope the clarification feels good to people. What else?
I think I'll wrap up with this segment in terms of the remembered, which is it kind of feels like these are goals and things like that. There is a person, her name is a psychology professor. Her name's Gail Matthews. She's at the Dominican University in California. She writes, and this is something that's so powerful. Her quote is, you are 42% more likely to achieve your goals if you write them down. 42% more likely. Mm. For you sitting today, or hopefully you're sitting and staying in somewhere where you can write this down, write down what is that legacy? What do you want to be remembered by? Because if you write it down, it's going to be there. Your brain subconsciously will be thinking about that in the future. And if you write that down, you're 42% more likely of achieving it. That is something we got to be aiming towards.
Yeah. So write down that. That's awesome. Write it down. Write down 42% so you don't forget that. Write down your legacy. It's easy to get off this podcast, guys. It's easy to like be like, okay, that was fun. Nope. Stop. Write it down. Write down your legacy. If you have a spouse or you're dating someone or you're engaged, connect with them. Talk with them. Talk it out. Like with your family. If you have kids, sit down at the dinner table and talk it out. What do we want for our family name? Our practice ownership experience will come to an end. What do we want to be remembered by? And write that down. That's awesome.
And it doesn't have to be about the practice. It has to be about your life, too. It doesn't have to be about practicing or dentistry. It could be about what do you want to be remembered beyond dentistry.
So good. All right, let's make a shift then into the third column. So we've got the K, the R, and the G. This is the intangible vision. This is the structure, the framework, the foundation, this three-legged stool. So with only two legs, we're going to tip. But let's add a third leg onto this stool to give a solid foundation. Where do we go next, Stephen?
Where we're going to go is into the K, the R, and finally the G, the give column. So in terms of the G column, in terms of the question I would ask everybody is, what do I want to give to in my community? And this is something that becomes a huge part, Jamie, of our clients and what they do, because it's that part that's beyond the walls of the practice, of what the practice is within the community as a community leader, beyond the clinical skills of our clients and the dentists, and beyond your clinical skills that you're listening today, and beyond the discounts that you offer, it's What do you want to support within your community? Now, in previous episode, we talked about Tom's shoes. So, Jamie, how about if you could, how do we relate Tom's shoes to dentistry in a startup practice? How do we do that?
Yeah. Well, so one way, this is kind of a funny way, there's a real way, but one of the funny ways is, Stephen, Stephen bought me a pair of Tom's shoes. He's heard me talk about Tom's shoes from stage for years. And I think
I did. Like, I forgot.
Did you forget? I actually just wore them to church the other week. They're awesome shoes. They're really good shoes. But you know, what stands out to me is when you open a box for a pair of Tom's shoes, there's a card right on the top of the shoes. You can't even see the shoes until you get past the card. And the card says, "Thank you. Your purchase has just given a pair of shoes to someone in need." Now that's a powerful statement to make. Like right out of the gate, you open a box of shoes, and this happened when Stephen had a pair mailed to my home. I opened it up and I'm like, "Oh yeah, cool, Tom's shoes. Whoa, the experience is here." I open it up and it's like, "Thank you for," and the power moment is before being allowed to experience the product, I was invited to experience the values. I'll say it again. Before I was allowed to touch the product, I was invited to experience the values. So let me ask you this, like as Startup Crew, if you're thinking about owning a practice, you've seen lots of practices out there. You know other startup practices, like they scrounge and they struggle and many don't even turn a profit for years. Many need a part-time job for 2, 3, 4, 5 years sometimes just to keep the lights on in their own startup. Ugh. Those startups, they're oftentimes known for their discounts more than their values. So how do we tie this together with Tom's shoes? Let's study what they do and see if we can try to emulate some of that. Now, Stephen brought up a good point. He said, what do you want to give to in the community where you serve? I think that's a key piece as you're thinking through,
yep.
How do I want to give? What do I want to give in the community where you serve? I think that's imperative. Prioritize that. Yep. Next, I'd also like to tell you, Stephen, I know you and I like to study a lot of methodologies and a lot of case studies. You and I have the Worldwide Brand Index before. Do you mind if I, it's a little bit of a kind of theoretical business knowledge. I think that, you mind if I go there for a little bit?
Yeah, go there. Yeah, go there, because I think this will be profound about brand recognition within the broader scope of our culture. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So yeah, let's tie this to brand recognition. So remember where we are. We're in the G column, the give column, and I'm describing how some of the Tom's shoes business theory can attach into your, as Stephen said, brand recognition for your practice to make you a practice of values. Whoa, that's a lot. Yeah, a lot of stuff. If you want to rewind and listen again, we're going to bundle it all together with this. There was a Worldwide Brand Index done a couple years ago of the top 300 brands in the world. On this list of the top 300 brands was Nike up in the top 100, above 100, somewhere near the top. Nike shoe company, Nike Sports Apparel. Near the bottom of the list of the 300 was Tom's shoes. Now, for Tom's shoes, this is a pretty crazy cool accomplishment, because Tom's shoes, relatively speaking to the other 300 companies on the list, Tom's shoes, they're kind of a small company, but relative to the other companies. Tom's shoes is on the list, though, of the top 300 Worldwide Brand Index. Now, let me put this in perspective. Tom's shoes is a $400 million company. Nike is a $9 billion company. $9 billion, $400 million. Okay. Imagine Tom's shoes and Nike on a graph, this Worldwide Brand Index graph. There is one. I can show it to you sometime if you want. Let me know. You can email me. I'm happy to share it with you. Nike starts at the top. Tom's shoes is at the bottom. If you look at this graph from left to right, visualize this with me. Picture this in your mind. Tom's shoes at the top, Nike on the bottom, a regular old graph. On the left of the graph represents brand awareness, right? The Worldwide Brand Index. The left of the graph represents brand awareness. The right side of the graph says willingness to purchase if values are known. So willingness to purchase when values are known. Ready? Here's what happens. Nike starts at the top of this graph. Tom's shoes is near the bottom. As the graph goes from right to left, Tom's shoes and Nike get closer and closer and closer. And then right before they get to the place where people are purchasing, they actually inverse. They flip, which is mind-blowing. Like, Tom's shoes surpasses the Goliath of Nike, a real David and Goliath kind of a story. Tom's shoes surpasses Nike when it comes time to make a purchase. Let me put it another way. When consumers understand the values of Tom's shoes, Nike loses. Nike loses. So what does that mean for you as a startup practice in your community? What does that mean? Well, there's probably this Goliath in your community called corporate dentistry, right? Right? There's somebody who's the kingpin there. There's a Goliath in your town who could squash you financially. Nike could squash Tom's shoes, $9 billion to $400 million. They could squash them. Nike spends more on marketing every year than Tom's shoes earns in a year. play that back again. They literally spend more on marketing than Tom's shoes earns. Nike could squash them, but Nike loses when consumers are brought to the point of purchase and they're made aware of the values. Tom's shoes wins. That is, I hope you like feel the energy here. This is mind blowing in terms of what you should do with your startup. So for you, Stephen, this topic of tying the brand into the practice. What thoughts do you have before I kind of go down the path of defining some give criteria? Maybe I should go through there. What thoughts do you have before we go into that topic?
No, I think we can go in that topic because I think one of the big things for the listeners to understand is that the give itself doesn't have to be this huge heartfelt item, because we'll give you some examples of what clients have really aligned themselves with. So know that it doesn't have to be deep and heavy into this topic of the give, but it's something you need to support within your community that will actually help from a marketing perspective, because as we start to develop your marketing strategy, if it's done genuinely and authentically, it becomes a part of the message of the practice, because people are attracted to the message, not just the dentistry, because they see dentist on the wall. They know what you do. But a lot of people are going to be coming to you if you have something that is like, but you support something that maybe ties into the community. That will be the reason why they continue to follow you, not just because of your dentistry. So I think, Jamie, this is a good segue into what are the criteria? So if you're listening, take notes now. Take notes. This is the criteria that needs to be set forth for a GIF.
Love it. We have our documentary. If you want to watch the documentary with Dr. Brian, you can go to startupdentist.com, startupdentist.com shows Dr. Brian. I referred to him earlier. He's the guy who has the $1 million startup practice. I like his case documented because his journey shows how impactful this give process can be. And for him, in his community, he is now able to tell his entire town that anytime a new patient comes to the practice, he supports a family with a child with special needs. I alluded to this a little earlier. And as he supports children or families of children with special needs in his community, he and his team, his community, they all know that he stands for this cause. And the powerful element of this is the fact that he's able to represent this cause and attract people into this cause and bring people into this movement instead of just talking about discounts and dentistry. Okay, so here's one of the interesting things. In order to make this work, like Stephen said, it doesn't have to be something somber or like super emotional. It just needs to be, Stephen, you used the word a second ago. You said authentic.
Yes.
Like, if you're going to start writing, write that down. Write down the word authentic. Here's why. Mm-hmm. Corporate dentistry can never do this. Stephen, thank you for bringing up that word. It's a power word. If you don't have something authentic, if you're not aiming for a cause that matters to you on a personal level, this will turn into a gimmick. If it turns into a gimmick, then technically it's just a marketing trick. If it's a marketing trick, then most of the time that's just not truthful. And if it's not truthful, then frankly, it's a lie. And if it's a lie, it will hurt your practice more than help your practice. It will actually sabotage your messaging. In other words, if your corporate dentistry stop listening, go away. You're not invited to the startup crew. You're not part of it. This is for associate dentists only. Associates who want to make a difference with a startup that matters. In order to do that, this only works for private practice owners because it must be something that matters as in an authentic way. So I want you to think about a cause. I want you to think about a nonprofit or a charity or a cause or a movement or a purpose in your community that matters to you. So one of our clients, her name is Lauren. she's awesome. She loves rock climbing and mountain biking and kayaking. She and her husband Raul, we helped them move from Texas to Colorado, and she opened up a practice. She literally has a climbing wall in a reception area. It's the coolest practice. And this give process is one that she follows. She ended up teaming up with a local mountain biking organization, the mountain biking organization that she and her practice now help rebuild the mountain bike trails in their community, which is amazing for her because, like, that's who she is, right? Like, think how cool it is to now have the entire community rally around the thing that she is passionate about. It actually gives them a peek into who she is. It gives them a peek into what she stands for. And best of all, get this, like, as a byproduct to having the community on board, the team on board, and the doctor excited, as a total byproduct, as a bonus, the organization invited 1,000 mountain bike members to Lauren's open house. What? Yeah. She had 209 patients on her fourth day. Brian, in comparison, he had 78 patients on his second day. He had 200 patients by his second month. Like, it's not just because of this, but how much better to have this? Listen, even if it doesn't get you one new patient, even if you get zero new patients, you will be able to show up every day knowing that you're fighting for something authentic. So start writing this down. Like, what kinds of causes would matter to you? What kind of purpose would matter to you? It doesn't need to be something that makes people cry. It doesn't. Could it be something that makes people cry? Yeah, but that's irrelevant. What matters is if it's authentic to things that are important to you. Is it authentic? Because if it's not, it will crash and burn. So, Stephen, does that help? Does that feel like good practical guidance?
100%. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Clarifying questions, thoughts, ideas? What do you think with all that?
You know, I think it's, again, it's a part of the pre-planning before even going towards where is my space? You know, where are we heading with that? This is the pre-planning. This is that first step. Even before you even start figuring out, like, where is my building? Where is this location? It's, what am I defining myself as? What am I setting my compass towards and my team towards? What am I setting my business towards? Yep, absolutely. What other important criteria in the give process should they consider, Jamie?
Cool, yeah. So one that's really standing out to me, this is probably the second and maybe most misunderstood. And I want you to hear this clearly. There are some people who have tried to become startup experts in dentistry. They kind of, you know, they opened one practice one time, mediocre results, and they try to pretend that they know a lot about startups. And I remember one of them came to me and said, "Oh, I'm doing what you guys are doing with your give, but it doesn't work. So what should I do?" And I said, "Well, part of the problem is you're like trying to make it a thing. Like, that's not the deal. Like, you're not supposed to like try to become a dental influencer and use this as a thing to like promote yourself. That's wrong. I didn't say this to the person, but I said that's inauthentic. Pardon me. I didn't use that word inauthentic, but that's the heart of what I was communicating. It's inauthentic. How do you know if it's inauthentic? What's the danger? Okay, so." The second concept is the word singular. So when I said inauthentic to this person, I was referring to the singular nature. This person, this doctor, was trying to do like a charity per month, kind of like a merry-go-round of charities. So I'm going to tell you why it should be singular. The merry-go-round of charities just makes people confused. Like, that doesn't help communicate anything besides, whoa, these people are like a vortex of what do they stand for? There's like this charity this month, that charity that month. It's very difficult for people to understand that in a way that communicates your values. So if you desire to become a practice that is communicated into your community as a practice of values, you got to get clear on one message. Here's a comparison. Tom's shoes. The card came in the box that said, with every pair of shoe, we give a pair to those in need. And on their website, it says, buy a shoe, give a shoe, right? However, what you don't know is that Tom's Shoes, once you dig under the cover a little bit, you actually find that Tom's Shoes digs wells in Africa. Tom's Shoes also has food pantries. Tom's Shoes does lots of other cool stuff, but they don't talk about that at the top of the shoebox. Stephen, does that make sense?
Yep, 100%.
So, singular. The point of all this is to say singular. You need a singular choice, just one. Now, just so you know, this is not an overnight thing. This isn't going to take like you stop the podcast this afternoon, you start scribbling some notes, bing, you got your singular one. Just like to be really clear, this probably takes on average 4 to 6 months, somewhere in that range.
Easily. Yeah, easily, because it's not as simple as, ooh, there's one, and that's going to be easy, because what you'll find sometimes is by calling, you know, sometimes even personally, like when I moved, you know, almost 2 years ago, was I wanted to have something that was in my own community. And sometimes you make phone calls and it kind of falls on deaf ears. I know, even non-for-profits, or you're thinking the support. So it does take some legwork, and don't choose it for the purpose of what you think others will feel about it. Choose it for the reason that aligns for you. Just because you love animals doesn't mean, oh, cool, I'm going to give to, you know, a local, you know, dog or cat or animal shelter. Well, don't just do that just because that you love animals, unless it, you genuinely say, this is exactly what authentically aligns for me. So don't choose it so that this is not a marketing gimmick. If it's a marketing gimmick, it will actually hurt your reputation, not enhance your reputation. But don't look at this as how do I look good in the community? Dr. Lauren supported a mountain bike trail organization, not because she wanted to make it look good in the community. It was because that's what aligned for her, and that's what the practice served for her, was a vehicle to help support something in her own personal life beyond that, and others within the community from an outdoors perspective. So align your give with something that doesn't have to look good to others when they visualize you, but what makes you feel good and authentic in your community.
Oh, that's good.
That's what you got to be aiming for.
I'm writing that down. That's quotable. Not what makes you look good, what makes you feel good. That's awesome. That's authenticity. That's real meaning behind this. Listen, I mean, as you're thinking through a startup, hopefully these ideas are popping, right? Hopefully you're getting some good brainstorming pops. I want these to be recognized as foundational elements. I want you to avoid the dangers like so many other. It's super sad to see startups in dentistry. They think they're doing a give, and they heard some person who likes to try to repurpose ideas in dentistry, and they're like, oh yeah, a give sounds cool. So they slap a ribbon on their website. They get like a pink ribbon and they slap it on their website. They say, that's the answer to my problems. All I need is a give. And they slap a ribbon on their website. The heartbreaking thing about that is a ribbon on your website does nothing to interact with your community. Listen, I'm all for the ribbon on the website, but that's not your heart. That's not your purpose. That's not your cause. That's not a movement you're going to lead. That's just somebody else's logo that, because of a course told you to, you slapped it on the website. Or worse, the merry-go-round of charities, which just confuses people in your community. Stephen, brilliant words. Don't go with what makes you look good. Go with what makes you feel good. And again, this will take 4 to 6 months, Doctor, even 4 to 7 months. Her last name starts with a Q. I won't use her last name. I'll point her out. But Dr. Keeley, amazing woman. She and I spent months going through this together, one-on-one. Over the course of the months, it's kind of the journey through, the grinding through of which one was right for her. She ended up saying, listen, I think I want to do something. Stephen, it's funny you said the pets. Her idea had something related to pets and adoptions. She kind of started there. But thankfully, our whole team, all the consultants, well, they actually care. They actually genuinely care. And some of the conversations with Keeley had tapped into, you know, between me and her, and caring, real, personal, customized, like one-on-one human conversations, not like consulting conversations, just like real life. We were talking about during her childhood how she, one of the things that she came from a family of good means. She even says herself, you know, I kind of had my choice of anything. I went to dance school. I could have chosen anything. I chose to become a little ballerina. I went through dance for years. And she said, I actually think the dancing is one of the things that like made me as confident as I am. She, in her own words, she says, I think like dancing kind of changed who I am as a person. So she and I are talking through her potential give strategy. She's like, hey, maybe dogs. There's a lot of people like dogs. And I said, cool, but hang on, pause. I don't hear Keeley. I'm listening really closely, and I don't know if I hear a lot of authenticity there. Like, I get it. I hear you. But tell me more. You said a long time ago about childhood and dancing. Tell me more about that. We did. She's talking about that. And you could almost like, bing, like, choo. You could hear the passion starting to turn up. And she's like, oh, and dancing. And yeah, you're right. Like the thing, and like it changed my life. But I don't, I mean, what can I ever do with that to help people? So we got to the brainstorming stages and oh, it got good. I was like, Keely, what if we did this thing where with every new patient who comes to your practice, you donate a tutu to people in lower income areas in your environment where in your community, perhaps you could even, she started thinking through teaming up with a local dance academy and teaming up with this other nonprofit so that she could be the one to donate a tutu to a lower income girl in her community so that young girls in her town could rebuild their personal confidence. Even without the same financial means that Keely did. Stephen, I don't know if I told you this whole story, and I'm not using her last name because I don't want to reveal all this.
I remember bits and pieces. I remember bits and pieces of this. There was a little bit of motion, I think, on the phone.
It went quiet, and then I could feel emotion, and it actually turned into sobbing. Like she's like, "Oh my gosh, Jamie, I don't." You're probably not the kind of person who likes to hear people cry, but I got to tell you, this means everything. And I just thought, oh my gosh, thank you for trusting me. Thank you for granting my team and me the space to guide you like this. And now she's able to proudly, boldly communicate this cause that she actually cares about. She actually is now able to communicate something with passion, not just some sort of weird strategy that feels like a corporate checkbox. Like, no, this is something that matters to her. And listen, will she get hundreds of new patients from this? Guaranteed, yes. Does that mean that's why she's going to do it? Heck no. No, that's irrelevant. Because I want you to do what feels good for you. You'll show up more passionate. Your team will be inspired. Your community will be motivated. This is about something much bigger than just dentistry. This is about the rest of your life. And that's why we'd like to say, we're going to create a startup that matters. So Stephen, there are some powerful things for people to be writing down. We talked about some authenticity, talked about some singularity, talked about giving it months to nurture through, to do the research and find what matters, and to really kind of go deep into what has purpose on a personal level. So how does that sound?
I love it.
Practical use?
That's it.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Okay. Anything else then, Stephen, for today to kind of wrap up the three-legged stool? Anything else that you think we should cover?
Nope. We have a stool now for your vision. This is the biggest step forward, and I can't wait for the next episode as we're going to get into some of those tangible pieces.
Tell us about some of the nuts and bolts. Give us a peek.
We got some nuts and bolts. We're going to take us down the path of demographics. Where should I go? What do these numbers even mean to me? Are these numbers good? What is competition? What is good competition? We're going to talk about funding, not just about a loan, but proper funding to fuel cash flow for your practice, to launch it properly. And then we're going to talk about,
not just about
real estate. Not about interest rates. It's about proper funding. Now we're going to talk about real estate. Why? Because we got to have a home for this practice. And what it's not going to be about is the space with the biggest sign and the biggest visibility on the busiest street corner in your town, because you can create success stories somewhere else without those and save yourself 30 to 50% on your real estate costs. That's what we're going to be heading here in the next episodes ahead.
Love it. Are we going to talk a little bit about owning real estate versus not owning real estate?
Absolutely. Leasing versus buying. What is the best? I'm going to help to dispel some of the myths on what is the best path. And there may not be a direct answer for everybody on this podcast, but we're going to dispel those and give those pros and cons for each one of those paths.
Really good. Really good. All right, so now you guys can probably start to see that there will be what we call intersections. Ready? Intersections is how I'm going to leave you with the thought before the next episode. We're going to start to talk through intersections. Remember, there are 13 stages through this process. The 13-stage process. If you haven't gotten a copy yet, go to idealpractices.com/13 so you can get a visual depiction of these 13 stages. It's totally free. We want to give it out to 1,000 people this year just for free so that people can get good guidance. 13 stages. What are the intersections? The intersections are how these 13 stages link together into profits. Did I say profits? Yeah, profits. So we're talking a lot about the heart of the practice, but we also need to be profitable, right? So the 13 stages will help you get open. This is what we call practice, right? Do you remember the three P's from the previous episode? Practice, profits, purpose. Practice, profits, purpose. There's three stages that you can open a startup with all three on the same day. You can open your doors with practice, profits, and purpose. You're starting to see how some of these things connect now. In practice, there are these 13 stages. We're going to have intersections of each of the 13 stages in practice as they intersect up. They intersect up into profits. Without these intersections between practice and profits, you're going to struggle like so many other startups out there do, and we're going to help you avoid that. I cannot wait for this next episode. Hang on tight. We'll see you in the next episode. Take care, startup crew. We'll talk soon.
How would you like to attend a two-day startup course with me and my team of experts? The Startup Practice Blueprint course is coming up soon, where my team of experts and I will work one-on-one with you to plan out your entire startup. Hundreds of doctors around the country have attended the Startup Practice Blueprint, and they've learned how this practice changes their career, their future, and their life. I'd love to meet you face-to-face at the event. There are only 24 seats, and you can apply for one of the spots now at www.startuppracticeblueprint.com.